From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Clearly Supernatural. The text is found in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 8. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. One of the best methods of the Lord's defending his people is to make them strong in inward might. Men are better than walls, and faith is stronger than castles. The Lord can take the feeblest among us and make him like David, the champion of Israel. Lord, do this with me. Infuse thy power into me and fill me with sacred courage, that I may face the giant with sling and stone, confident in God. The Lord can make his greatest champions far mightier than they are. David can be as God, as the angel of Jehovah. This would be a marvelous development, but it is possible, or it would not be spoken of. O Lord, work with the best of our leaders. Show us what thou art able to do, namely, to raise thy faithful servants to a height of grace and holiness which shall be clearly supernatural. Lord, dwell in thy saints, and they shall be as God. Put thy might into them, and they shall be as the living creatures who dwell in the presence of Jehovah. Fulfill this promise to thine entire church in this our day, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Sparing, sent him to die. I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, thy Savior
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last.
Thank you.
continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled Saints Secure in Christ, Crucified and Risen from the Dead. The text is verses 5 through 11 of chapter 5, in which Paul takes up the believer's security and assurance. In verse 6, the apostle shows that in giving Christ to die on the cross, God provided the greatest possible demonstration of his love toward sinners. As the verse proclaims, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly are every single person who ever has or ever will be born. This indeed is the love of Christ which passes knowledge. The proof that no believer will ever suffer the wrath of God lies in the fact of Christ's resurrection and intercession. Christ's prayers can never be in vain. Now to continue this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
God is not in the business of extortion. He has exacted in justice the payment in the blood of Christ. But once the debt is settled, once the payment is made, once the sacrifice is over and has been accepted by God, then it is impossible for those for whom Christ made a full atonement ever to perish. You see, here's the proof of God's love. Christ died for us. His sacrifice. The fourth statement. Christ's sacrifice purchased a complete justification. Notice the beginning of verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Justified by or in his blood. In the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior poured out to God all the merits of his perfect life. Remember what the scripture says back in Leviticus 17. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The pouring out of the blood of Christ was obviously done in death. He died. But the pouring out of the blood of Christ was in reality the pouring out of a life. His life was in that blood. That life of absolute perfection. That life of total obedience. That life in which he had rendered to the law of God an absolute obedience, fulfilling it down to the last detail on our behalf. That life of what theologians erroneously, I believe, call the active obedience of Jesus Christ. That's what he poured out to God. And in pouring it out, he not only testified, I have kept the precept of the law, and I give that perfect obedience to the precept as a sacrifice to God, but in doing so, I pay the penalty of the broken law, so meeting the dual obligation of all my people to have a perfect precept and pay a perfect penalty, a perfect payment of the penalty. I'm doing it both. You see, that's our double obligation. It's also our double need. We need a perfect righteousness of obedience to the precept of the law. We need that. We also need to be able to pay the penalty of the law that's already broken. Can you see now why Paul says we were without strength? We were powerless. How on earth could we ever... How could we ever pay the penalty that would satisfy God without our souls being forever cast into the darkness of hell? How could we ever pay the penalty for the broken law? We couldn't do it. But even if we could, how could we ever establish a perfect righteousness? How could we ever establish a complete obedience? Every person here already see him, knows, and his heart rises in testimony. I might have been saved for 50 years, but I have never yet been able to live perfectly. I can't do anything perfectly. So we're yet without strength. But thank God we're justified by his blood, because in his blood he made that satisfaction. In his blood he met the requirements of the law, and in his blood he extinguished the wrath of God that was against us. As Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 2, 13 and 14, one of the most outstanding statements ever penned on this subject, Paul says, "You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us." Now don't skip over those words. Whose hand wrote those ordinances? Exodus chapter 20 tells you. It's the hand of God. It was God's hand that etched into the stone the Ten Commandments, the ordinances that were against us. And they were contrary to us. But the blood of Jesus Christ blotted out what God's hand had written against us. He didn't blot out the law as an expression of God's will. He blotted it out as a covenant that we had broken. It's as if he were saying God's hand had kept an account. God's hand had meticulously set down against us the broken law. There's your account. Can you pay it? No, you can't. But he blotted it out. And across it all, he inscribed in the red ink of his own precious blood, "Paid in full." Paid in full. He extinguished the wrath of God. And he established the perfect ground for our acceptance, because he justified us. Justified us in his blood. Justified us by his dying for us, pardoning our sins, and in giving us the free gift of his perfect robe of righteousness. He says, "All my righteous merit I make over to your account." And that fountain filled with Jesus' blood justifies us in the sight of God. Now, see this. He's given us the Holy Ghost. That in itself says, you've got security. The Holy Ghost witnesses of God's love to us. God's love to us tells us, you have security. I love you. I'm not about to damn you. I love you. The proof of my love is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That sacrifice has purchased a complete justification and a total acceptance. And now the final statement, verses 9 and 10. That justification means that we shall be saved from wrath through him. The argument in verses 9 and 10 is something really that should take a few weeks to go through. But since I'm fighting the calendar, not the clock, I can't take those weeks. But notice how he argues, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. In essence, this is the same argument as chapter 4, verse 25. He was delivered on account of our offenses. He was raised again on account of our justification. This is the very same argument in different words. But there's a truth here we shouldn't miss. The risen Christ continues to act as our Savior. Sometimes we forget that. When we take, he said, it's finished, we sometimes act as if it meant he had finished acting as our Savior. What he meant was that the sacrifice was over. The time of the priestly sacrifices is over. And I am giving the once for all sacrifice for sin. And that sacrifice for sin, once and for all offered at Calvary's cross, is what will guarantee my people their eternal life. I have brought to an end. As he said to Jerusalem on another occasion, tell her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned. The warfare is over. The priestly sacrifices are done. This is one sacrifice for sins forever, fulfilling all the prophecies of the Old Testament. He acted then as our Savior, and when he finished the work, he finished the priestly sacrifices and said, this is it. One sacrifice for sin forever. But now, he's risen. And he's still acting as our Savior. I want you to understand that. He's still acting. He's still actively at work. Christ didn't die and then sit back in luxury. As if, well, there's nothing now for me to be interested in. He's interceding. He's appearing. He's advocating. And what is he advocating? He's advocating against all the opposition of hell. He's advocating according to the terms of the covenant of grace that every one of his people make it securely to heaven. He's advocating that the blood-washed are actually brought into glory. He's saying, as he prays in John 17, Father, I will that these that thou hast given me be with me. I must have them. I will have them. They must reach heaven, and they will reach heaven. He's active as our Savior. And he's living to ensure that all for whom he died will without fail enter into glory. That's what these verses 9 and 10 are all about. Verse 9, he died for us and purchased our justification. But he also rose again and lives as our Savior. His death could not be in vain. But neither can his resurrection life. Neither can his intercession. If you understand what Christ is doing at the right hand of God, you will see the security. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter, and then the words include all the disciples? He said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. Now you just put your own name in there. For it wasn't only true of Simon. Satan has desired to have you. Oh, you're mine, given to me in the covenant of redemption. You're mine by divine appointment. You're mine by eternal election. You're mine by the precious blood of the cross. You're mine by the sealing of the Holy Spirit. But Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. It's not just that I'm praying for the whole church. It's not just that I'm praying for the great body of my elect. It's not just I'm saying, Lord, look at that great number of people that only God knows, and I'm praying for them as a block. Oh, that may be true. But in His infinite wisdom, the Lord Jesus says, by name I have prayed for you. Your name is inscribed on the palms of my hands. As the hymn says, my name from the palms of his hands, eternity cannot erase. Bless God, his praying cannot be in vain.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.